Isaac, I know we're focusing on the Hall of Fame here, but 2020, St. Louis getting the XFL. Any chances if they asked you to be a coach of any sort, would you be interested at all?
Hey, you know what? That'd be hard to turn down, man. I am a St. Louis guy. I love and I enjoy football, the game of football. And you know what? I've always been interested in the development of young players. And I believe young players, those right on the cusp of making it into the NFL and those who are very young playing probably special teams in the NFL, they all need that development. And I think leagues like this give them another opportunity to develop themselves as a player. So, absolutely. I'd be willing to sit down and just listen and see how it goes.
They just need to know the price goes up when he's a Hall of Famer. Okay. Will you?
Absolutely. They better do it early.
Would you reach out to them for a situation like that?
No, I don't think so. That's kind of not really my style. But I'm more than willing to talk, more willing to listen, kind of communicate with whoever I need to communicate with. And if I had to get a staff together, I don't foresee that being too difficult as well.
This is the SS Podcast. Presented by XFL2K.com with your host, Tron Hawkins.
Welcome to This is XFL Podcast, and welcome to a very special episode. You know, usually I try to record, you know, maybe once a week, maybe a little bit more, and usually not this close together, but after the news that came out that Isaac Bruce, as you heard on the radio interview, wanted to be maybe a XFL coach for the St. Louis franchise, I thought, hey, well, it would be a good time to come out with an episode about Isaac Bruce. So that's what I'm going to do today. Thank you all for listening. There's a big mix-up on my last episode. I didn't deleted the first release of it. So if you listened again, just get my views up, listens up, I appreciate you. So I'm going to do a special podcast for everybody. I know there's a lot of St. Louis fans that listen to my podcast. Thank you so much. I know a lot of people got a lot of good feedback on the St. Louis episode, so I appreciate it. Follow me on Twitter at XFL Podcast. Follow me on Facebook at XFL Podcast. For my St. Louis fans out there and just fans of football, I am going to talk about Isaac Bruce. He was selected in the second round of the 94 draft. He played college football for Memphis. He was an All-Pro four times. He amassed 15,208 yards, fifth all-time. He played 14 years with the Rams and won a Super Bowl in Super Bowl 34 in Atlanta, which is ironic because he's going to find out if he's a Hall of Famer in Atlanta the night before the Super Bowl. He also played for the Niners at one point. He was the lead wide receiver for what is now known as the greatest show on earth. Isaac Bruce was born in Fort Lauderdale, Florida. He graduated from Dillard High School in 90. He actually, as a senior, he only had 39 catches for 644 yards. He was all-county selection and led the team to a championship, state championship in 89. He actually signed a letter of intent to play for Purdue, believe it or not. But his SAT score was too low for Purdue to accept him. He ended up going to a community college, West Los Angeles, and then a Santa Monica College. Then he transferred to Memphis. That's crazy. This guy, you know, he didn't get into the college he originally wanted to. His SAT scores weren't as good as he thought he wanted them to be. And yet, he ended up getting picked in the second round in the NFL draft after going to Memphis. And ended up playing on one of the best offenses in history of football. I mean, it's crazy, you know. Never give up. Even if you have a setback, you know, get back up. Keep going. The year he was in Memphis in 92, he finished his college career with 113, or he finished his, that year with 113 catches, 1,586 yards, and 15 touchdowns. And he also earned a degree in physical education. He was drafted 33rd overall by the LA Rams, not the St. Louis Rams, the LA Rams, the original LA Rams. It don't seem like a lot of money then, but he signed a three-year, $1.75 million contract. He ended up getting the Team Rookie of the Year Award, the Carol Rosenbloom Award. He was voted Rookie of the Year by the Orange County Sports Association and by the Southern California Broadcasters, Sports Broadcasters. For his first reception was a 34-yard touchdown. So that was kind of a thing to come at that time. That was week one of that season, I'm pretty sure. After the touchdown, the Rams fan yelled, "Bruce!" So, I mean, instantly he became a fan favorite. The first week they was in St. Louis, he blocked a punt, and that contributed to the first win in St. Louis. He was named Special Teams Player of the Week that week. I mean, he's always been earning rewards throughout this whole thing. He also won NFL Offensive Player of the Week that year. Had a 10-catch, 191-yard, and 2-touchdown performance. His total receiving yards for 95 was 119 catches for 1,781 yards, and that was only second to Jerry Rice. And he was only he was less than 100 yards behind him. He's 95 yards behind Jerry Rice. He was 95 yards behind the greatest wide receiver of all time. And this before Kurt Warner even got there. So, I mean, take that into account. He was doing all this before he had a halfway decent quarterback. The crazy thing about this, too, is that his first game as a L.A. Ram in 94 and his first touchdown was in Atlanta. It was in Atlanta where he had his first touchdown and catch. It was in Atlanta where he won the Super Bowl, and it could be in Atlanta where he gets named into a Hall of Fame. That's full circle. That is the most full circle stuff I've ever heard. First catch, first touchdown, first Super Bowl, Hall of Fame in the same city. That's special out there. He was a special player. I enjoyed watching him play. In 96, he did the same thing. He led the NFL with 1,336 yards in 96 with only 84 catches. He was a big play receiver. You know, now it takes receivers, you know, 100-some catches to get that much. He did it in 84. He was very efficient, and he became the first Rams receiver since Henry Elway in 90 and 91 to post back-to-back 1,000-yard seasons. One of the best games of his career was against Baltimore Ravens, October 26, 1996. He caught 11 passes for 229 yards and a touchdown. That's a career day for almost anybody. In 96, he signed with the Rams, this time for 4 years, $12.1 million. In 2 years, he went from making $1 million for 3 years. I'm sorry, yeah, in 2 years. $1.75 million over 3 years to making $12 million over 4 years. I mean, he voted to his first Pro Bowl in 96 after being an alternate the season before. In 97, he missed the first 6 games due to a hamstring injury, and then in the second game, or in 98, he missed the final 9 games with a hamstring injury. In November 2nd, 1997, he had another 200-yard game, totaling 10 catches for 232 yards and 2 touchdowns. This man, when he was healthy and was on the field, all he did was score touchdowns. That is all that man did, was just, bam, score touchdowns, bam, score touchdowns. And later when we talk about Super Bowl, you know, we'll see, you know, what he did to that. He was just a big, deep threat. I mean, in 98 home game against the Vikings, he had 11 catches for 192 yards and an 80-yard touchdown. I mean, that's all he did, was just catch bombs for touchdowns. Bruce was first-team All-Pro and was voted to his second Pro Bowl in 99. He caught 77 passes for 1,165 yards and 12 touchdowns. I wish I played fantasy then, because I'd picked him like second round. Like, he's that good. I love picking wide receivers. Isaac Bruce has been on my team every year in fantasy, except for the year she was hurt. I would have known then. That year they went to the Super Bowl with a 13-3 record. In that game, he caught Kurt Warner's 73-yard touchdown pass late in the fourth quarter to win the game. It was a game winner, 23-16. Prior to 2000 season, he re-signed with the Rams, another huge contract. I mean, he made a lot of money quick. 7 years, $442 million. He was a Pro Bowler that year again, caught 87 passes, 1,471, and 9 touchdowns. He became the first Rams receiver ever to earn back-to-back Pro Bowl invitations. I'm sorry, he's second ever to Henry Ellard. Again, he was on the field. He's a big fan favorite, especially in St. Louis, and I'll get to why that's important for the XFL here in a minute. You know, the Rams turned Super Bowl in 2001. They lost to New England. He became the third receiver in franchise history to earn 3 consecutive invitations, with the first in St. Louis history. He was voted offensive captain and became the franchise career leader in 100-yard receiving games with 29, 1,000-yard seasons with 5, and receiving touchdowns with 56. He became only the second player in team history to post 500 career receptions. In the Super Bowl, he only caught, though, in that Super Bowl 36 loss, he only caught 5 passes, 56 yards. In 2002, he became the Rams' all-time leader in receptions. He posted his 4,000-yard receiving season. He led the team with only 7 touchdowns. So his touchdowns, you know, he had 79 catches, 100,000 yards, and just 7 touchdowns. So he was slowly declining by the time 2001 came around. 2002, I'm sorry. On his 30th birthday, Bruce had 3 fumbles in the game. That was a horrible birthday, you'd think. But no, luckily for him, he scored the game-winning touchdown, and the game is almost forgotten because of a 34-34 tie between the Falcons and Steelers the same day. So, the tie between the Falcons and Steelers kind of overshadowed that one. He had a three-fumble day, but he also caught the game-winner. For the first time since 98 and 2003, he missed the 1,000-yard mark by only 19 yards, and he only had 5 touchdowns. However, he became the all-time leader in Rams history with 10,461 yards. I don't see any Rams receiver passing this. I really don't anytime soon. I mean, because nobody stays with a team that long anymore. Like, nobody stays longer than 2 or 3 years. Like, do I think Robert Woods could have if he started out with the Rams? Maybe. Or Brandon Cooks, you know. Cooper Kupp might in receptions. That man does nothing but catch. But right now, I just don't see anybody that's going to be able to pass him in any of these records. But who knows? With Jared Goff at quarterback and they get a young wide receiver like a Cooper Kupp, then they, you know, it might. In 2004, he caught 89 passes. He got back up to 1,000 yards, 1,292. He started the season with 4 consecutive 100-yard receiving performances, the first player to accomplish that since Houston Charlie Hennigan in 1963. He grabbed a team-high 9 catches for 170 yards and 1 touchdown on November 29, 2004 against Green Bay. Again, shitload of catches, shitload of yards, touchdowns. Like, he, you know, some players now, they get yards, they get catches, or they get touchdowns. He had it all. He had all of them. He got every single one of those every time. Back then, nobody stayed with a team. I mean, everybody stayed with a team for a while. So, I mean, like I said, I don't think anybody's going to. He lasted for a while with the Rams. He lasted from 94 to 2008. I mean, that's 14 years. That's insane. 14 years with any team for anybody is insane. But for a wide receiver, it's crazy. In 2005, Jerry Lice retired, so at that point, Isaac Bruce became the active leader in career receiving yards, but a foot injury caused him to miss 5 games that year. He was passed by Marvin Harrison by the end of the season. Still, he became the 14th player with 800 career receptions on December 11th, 2005. March 7th, 2006, the Rams released Bruce rather than pay him a $1.5 million bonus. However, 5 days later, the Rams agreed to re-sign him for 3 years, $15 million. The re-signing freed up $7.5 million in cap space. He had another 1,000-yard year, but with only 3 touchdowns and 74 catches. But that proves right there he loved St. Louis. He was a team player. He knew if they signed him that bonus, they wouldn't have no cap room. Like, he knew what was going to happen, you know, if he signed that bonus. So he was a team player, agreed to get cut. And he knew all along that he signed him for less money, but he wouldn't be in St. Louis. 2007, he caught 55 passes for 733 yards and 4 touchdowns, second to Torrey Holt, who at that time has kind of surpassed him as number one receiver on the Rams. He took the lead in career receiving yards among active players from Harrison. And in the same game that year, he passed James Lawson to become third all-time. On February 28, 2008, Bruce was released by the Rams, refusing to take a pay cut this time, which the Rams promised they would not do to him in a previous contract renegotiation. So, he ended up signing the next day with the Niners to reunite with offensive coordinator Mike Martz, who's a big, big, big deal in St. Louis. December 21st, 2008, Jerry Rice actually gave Bruce permission to wear number 80, even though the team had already retired it. However, Bruce decided against it and wore 88. So Jerry Rice respected this man enough to let him have his retired number. Jerry Rice, the greatest wide receiver of all time. Isaac Bruce may be the second best wide receiver of all time. I mean, if we're talking number for number, Isaac Bruce should be number 2 against Jerry Rice. I mean, And he didn't play with Kurt Warner the whole time. You know what I'm saying? Like, he knew. So, on December 21st, 2008, against his St. Louis former team, he caught his 1,000 career reception, a 3-yard touchdown catch. St. Louis fans cheered for him, yelling "Bruce" when he caught a pass, and cheered when he caught his 1,000 pass. He had so much respect in St. Louis that they cheered for him when he played for another team. They knew that it wasn't his fault that he left. They knew that it was a team decision and that he wanted to stay there. They had enough respect for him to cheer him, even though he played for a division rival in the 49ers. After contemplating retirement in the offseason, he elected to come back to the Niners for his 16th season. Because he said he thought they would get in the Super Bowl and win it. They didn't. On June 7th, 2000, Bruce was traded from the 49ers to the Rams, so he'd be able to retire as a Ram. He was the last member of the former first tenure St. Louis Rams to retire. Los Angeles Rams, I'm sorry. So he's the last one to retire from the LA Rams. That state. Yeah, he retired even after the bus did. His career, he had, let's see here. He started 201 games out of 223 he could. He had 1,024 receptions, 15,424 yards, 91 touchdowns. He was a stud for St. Louis. So when they asked him in that interview about the XFL, I like how he said he was interested in coaching because he wanted to help young guys grow. And I think the XFL needs that because they realize that they're going to get some veteran stuff, but it's going to be young, hungry players that want to play in a different league, in a new league, and be part of something special. I think Isaac Bruce is perfect at that, and I think he'd be perfect for the St. Louis team. I know he don't have any coaching experience, and I know he's going to have to be the GM for the XFL as well. But the reason why I think he'll be perfect for it is this. Like I was talking about in the Black Monday podcast, former players are good coaches. They know what to look for. If he can find somebody and find a wide receiver that looks just a little bit like him, then he go, you know what? I can mow that into somebody like me. He can make them more Isaac Bruce. He's played with Kurt Warner. He can get a veteran that might want a second chance like he did. You know, somebody that's bagging groceries one day and stuff, and turn them into a star like Kurt Warner was. Hell, he could even get Kurt Warner maybe to be a quarterback coach. We don't know. I mean, he's got connections. People in St. Louis love him. They want him to be the XFL coach, I believe. And I think now is the time to go ahead and just ask him. If anything, whoever's going to be the St. Louis coach, ask them to make him the offense coordinator. We need some hometown heroes in these cities. Football is back in St. Louis. Bring Isaac Bruce back. He's the best wide receiver, not only in Rams history, but second best, probably NFL history behind the GOAT, Jerry Rice. Bring him back to St. Louis, and the fans will come out to the XFL to support not only a new team in St. Louis, but to support one of their favorite players of all time, Isaac Bruce. Thank you for listening to this special episode. I know, like I said, a lot of people love my St. Louis episode. I think I'm going to root for St. Louis in the XFL just because, you know, it's new. It's a team. They got kind of screwed out of their team before, like I talked about. And they're the only team without a NFL team. So I think it'd be perfect. I think it'd be a perfect team to root for since they don't have an NFL team. They're going to come out and they're going to support it. They have the most social media followers by far of all the 8 teams. So there's that. Go St. Louis. So let's get to a viewer question right quick. Somebody asked me, Mark at TheMoleMan54 on Twitter. I'm sorry I didn't mention the names last time. I wrote them down before and just didn't write down names. I just wrote down the question. So from now on, you got a question, just let me know and I'll mention your name. Follow him on Twitter at TheMoleMan54. He asked, what would the XFL need to do to attract talents like Trevor Lawrence or Justin Fields to the XFL? Money. You know, I know there's people that want to love to play the game, and I'm sure Trevor Lawrence loves to play the game. He looked spectacular in the national championship game, and he is actually... I live in Somerville, Georgia, small town in Georgia, Northwest Georgia. I live about 45 minutes, an hour away from Cartersville, where he played high school football and where he's from. So it was a big deal to see him in that. Money. And the reason I say money is, you know, if they could play a year in college, win a national championship. I mean, look at Trevor Lawrence. If he comes back next year, it's his second year. He can't leave till his junior year. So if he comes back next year and win a national championship, what more is there for him to do? What more is there for him to do? There's nothing. So why not take a year, go to the XFL, you know, make $3,000, $4,000, or $400,000, $300,000 to $400,000, and then go to the NFL. There's a couple questions I have about this, though. One, do they get drafted? Like, will they get drafted? Two, if they come from the XFL, do they get to pick where they sign? Think about that. The worst part about getting drafted is, if you're good, you can go to a sucky team. No offense to sucky teams. Like, look at Haskins from Ohio State. He might get lucky. He might go to the Giants. I'm thinking, like, oh, the Giants are awful. They got Barkley. They got Odell. They got pieces there. Would you rather go there or go to Oakland? Because you know by 2021, when Oakland's on the clock with the first pick, Gruden's going to pick Trevor Lawrence. I mean, you know what I'm saying? Like, would you want to pick where you go? Or would you want to get drafted where you go? Justin Fields, I'm a Georgia fan. I don't like how he did this. I can see him being in the XFL. I can see him in the XFL. I can see him more in the XFL than the NFL because he's kind of a smaller athletic guy. Trevor Lawrence has got pro written all over him. But yeah, throw money at him. Throw money and say, look, come here for a year, make some money. You know, one of my coworkers, we were talking about this the other day, and he's like, well, why would he risk that? Why would he risk getting hurt? You're going to risk getting hurt going to college, too. I mean, there's no difference. Another one said the NFL might try to blackball the XFL. That is true. But I don't see it happening. Talent's talent, no matter where it's coming from. I mean, they ain't going to stop WWE guys. You know, WWE signs people from New Japan and stuff like that. They ain't going to stop, you know, NFL signing people from the XFL. So, again, thank you for listening to this special episode. Leave ratings, leave comments, leave questions, whatever you want to do. And I appreciate you. Go back and listen to the second First Impression episode if you haven't yet. It's the one I just posted before this one. Like I said, I accidentally deleted it, lost all my listens, so that kind of sucked. But listen to it, enjoy it. And if you have any questions, just email me or just inbox me on either social media platforms. Thank you so much, and good night.